Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Soul Patrol Jesus 911. I got a two-man car today. My name is Jesse Romero, and I have Father Steve Gallagher. I'm looking at a book. I received this book a while back ago. It's a police officer's devotional. Here it is. And I said, man, I've got to meet the author of this book. He's a Catholic priest, but he's former law enforcement. And boy, oh boy, he gets it. It's called A Police Officer's Devotional. His truth shall be thy shield. Psalm 91, verse 4. The book is fantastic. It's written for a cop. I mean, you look at some of the table of contents here. Start of shift, end of shift, special assignments, page 55, the police administrator, page 59, the police supervisor, page 63, the patrol officer, the walking patrol officer, the traffic officer, detectives, the SWAT officer. I'm telling you, this book right here should be in the hands and in every police car in the United States. Father, welcome to Jesus 911, Father.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Father, how long did you serve and in what department?
I started in 30 years all total. I started up in Port Angeles, Washington in the 1970s. I left the department. That's my hometown, too. That's up on the top of the Olympic Peninsula. And then I left there in 83, and I joined the Benedictine monks at St. Martin's Abbey. And that lasted about a year and a half. St. Martin's is down in Lacey, Washington. And that was a time of discernment to whether or not I was going to stay in the monastery or not. But as it was at the end of the discernment time, what I did is I opted out and I went to work for Olympia Police, which is it's the Tri-Cities there. And I did work for Olympia for the next 21 years before I retired. I aged out.
Yeah,
can't
Father,
believe that.
It's like you don't look like... You look like time has done. Obviously, you've been taking your vitamins because you look good, Father. You've lived like two full lifetimes, and you look as strong as a rock.
Well, thank you. People ask me how old I am, and I just say I'm 31. They go 31? Yeah, 31 years from being 100.
Father, how does police work? How does law enforcement? How does it give you a perspective, or how do you think it augments your priesthood? How do you think it helps you as a Catholic priest spending so much time in uniform?
Well, you know, it's kind of a segue from one life of service to another, but with different variables and different considerations, because there's no way some of the things that we dealt with in law enforcement how we dealt with things in law enforcement to be applied to the priesthood, because it's just a different kind of a world. And what you will find, though, is you're dealing with the exact same thing, one in police work in the physical world and one in priesthood and in the religious life in the spiritual world. The one thing I can tell you is nobody leaves my masses early.
Yeah, I figure they don't. Father, how was it... What was the catalyst, that turning point? Because, you know, everybody, you're probably a cradle Catholic, I'm guessing. Yeah. What was the turning point where you just said, you know what, Jesus is Lord. I got to hunker down and get more serious about my Catholic faith. I mean, was this some type of Curcio retreat, some mountaintop experience, a weekend at a monastery, a Catholic marriage? What was it that kind of flipped the switch for you?
Retirement.
Okay. All right.
What I mean by that is, you know, I knew I wanted to do, there's three things I wanted to do. And I knew this in the fifth grade when I was 10 years old. I wanted to be a cop. I wanted to be a priest. And I wanted to be a Marine Corps sniper of all things. But when I went in for my physical, they 4F'd me. They said, nah, go away. We don't want you. So that kind of like messed that up. But two out of three, I guess, ain't bad. So I went into police work. And when I retired, but this thing called the call, vocare, which is the Latin for vocation, was always nagging at me. It was always pulling, and it was always there. And finally, I was able towards the end of my career to see it starting to unfold. And I knew that once I retired, there was a really strong possibility that this was the direction I was going to head in. And I told God once, years and years and years ago, I said, look, you got to put it right in my face. I don't read signs. I said, you just got to stick it right out there. Well, sure enough, that's exactly what happened. And then one thing led to another. And voila, here I am, you know, and I'm just doing the best I can. I'll be this April, I will have been ordained 11 years.
Wow.
And I'm 69 years old now.
Let me put in a plug for your book. People, the book is called A Police Officer's Devotional, A Police mm-hmm. Officer's Devotional. You can get this book at holyheroes.com, holyheroes.com. Yes. If you have anybody in your family that's in law enforcement, any first responder, get this book. Give it to them. It's written with the language and the table of contents that's going to appeal to somebody who's the first responder. The book is called A Police Officer's Devotional. You can get it from holyheroes.com, holyheroes.com. It's outstanding. I've got it next to my computer here in my office, in my studio. Father, now, how were you inspired to write this book for cops? What was it that triggered you that said, you know, I got to write something simple and basic, you know, 10 commandments and all the stuff that you have in there. I've got to write something for my fellow law enforcement officers. When did that happen, or and how did you see the need?
Well, I can tell you exactly what it was. I was walking through a bookstore up in Tacoma one time, Tacoma, Washington, and I saw a book that said Lincoln's Devotional. And up until that point, I wasn't aware that President Lincoln ever had a devotional. I picked it up and I started looking through it. And I thought, no, this isn't for me. Because, of course, it's from the 1800s, you know. But all of a sudden, the lights went on. And I said, geez, we got to do one of these for police officers. So I started researching it. And all the ones I found, they were too onerous. They were they just didn't fit my style, right? So I said, well, I'll write my own. And I based it, when I first started, the idea was to base it on the Liturgy of the Hours. I thought that's a perfect template for this. However, that quickly became too busy and too onerous. So I did what you just said. I did the KISS theory. I dumbed it down, you know, keep it simple, stupid, or keep it short and sweet or whatever. Yeah. And so that's the end format is what you see. And of course, there was lots and lots and lots of editing to it over the years. And I was finally able to came to fruition this way. And then somehow, I don't exactly remember how now, but Ken Davidson and Holy Heroes came onto this, and the next thing you know, they have it, and here I am, you know. Because I don't have the ability to sell this online and deal with all the customers or money and returns, because I'm a missionary priest in Alaska, and I just don't have the time for that kind of stuff. So I just kind of print it and have it given away, and then the Lord took it from there, you know.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Father, you've done a great service to law enforcement with this book, and you obviously showed your love for law enforcement, by writing such a piece like this. You know, I want to ask you, I actually believe that law enforcement is a God-ordained profession. And it's a calling as well, like mm-hmm. priesthood. It's a calling. It's a call to service, and it's a call to basically enter into a thankless job, as you probably well know. Most of the time, it's just a thankless job. But it's you know, I look at Romans chapter 13. I believe where, you know, you see there where God calls upon people to serve, you know, in the military and in law enforcement. It's a God-ordained profession. Would you say that that's an accurate assessment of law enforcement based on Romans chapter 13? Or am I reading?
Yes, I would. And I even mentioned it in there in the book. But I got to tell you something. I'd like to say that I don't totally agree with the fact that it's a thankless job. I mean, there are times when it is just miserable and rotten, and it is thankful. But you know what? The stuff that we thank God for is the stuff that nobody knows about, except usually the officer or officers and the situation later on. Because once you get back in your car and you drive away, and you can kind of give yourself a pat on the back and say, well, I did the best I can. I did a good job. One time I was running code, and I had everything going in the car but the machine gun, and cars are pulling off to the side and whatnot. Stepping right out in front of me was an old couple. They didn't hear the siren. They didn't see the lights. And they were arm in arm, man and wife. and they just strolled across the parking lot, across the crosswalk, just completely oblivious that 5 feet from them was a police car with everything going. I turned the siren off at that time. And I looked at those two and I started to laugh at myself. I said, you know, this is what it's all about. It's for you guys. This is what I'm doing this for people like you. Because let's face it, there's people out there in this world that just can't help themselves. And they need help, whether it comes from law enforcement or social services. This world of ours is completely at the mercy of evil. And there needs to be a few people around that won't take that kind of nonsense from anybody, you know, and are able to stand up to it.
That's right. I'm speaking right now with this Jesus 911 Jesse Romero. I'm talking with Father Steve Gallagher. He's a Catholic priest who had a full career in law enforcement, but he always felt the call to be a Catholic priest, and he's now a Catholic priest. Father, what diocese are you in?
I got called to the Diocese of Juneau, which is southeast Alaska, the panhandle of Alaska. So it would run from the bottom of the panhandle, which is Canada, clear up to a place called Yakutat, which is the most remote city in North America. Maybe it's been longer than that now, we got combined with the Diocese of Anchorage. So now with the Archdiocese of Anchorage. So now it's the Archdiocese of Anchorage, Juneau. And currently,
Stick around. I hear the music. Stick around. I want to keep you on for one more thing. we're here with Father Steve Gallagher. Don't stick around. Don't go anywhere. We're going to continue this conversation with this from police to priest. Stick around. Don't go anywhere.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, two-man car. My name is Jess Romero. I'm here with Father Steve Gallagher, former policeman, now priest. He wrote a book, phenomenal book, called A Police Officer's Devotional. You can get it from holyheroes.com, holyheroes.com. This book should be in the hands of everybody who's in law enforcement. I dare say every first responder. I dare say even people in the military. It's written with that type of a flavor, that type of a style. And Father Steve Gallagher has done a great service to Holy Mother Church by writing this book. Father, as you were talking before the break, you were talking about the book and some of the things about the book that you think would be very important for somebody in law enforcement to really be cutting their teeth on. Go ahead, Father.
You know, when you get into a real stressful situation, and I'm talking like a scale of 1 to 10, stress being about a 25, sometimes you just can't compose your thoughts well enough to cry out to the Lord, other than just simply cry out to the Lord. And maybe for some people, some of the reflections in this book and these short prayers might be just what they need, at least if nothing else, to start the mind in the direction of God and trigger a mindset that says, you know, God, you are there for me. I don't see it right now, but I absolutely know you're there for me. And, you know, just a few minutes ago, I think I want to qualify something. You said how this is a thankless job. You know what? You're right in so many ways. And the reason it is, and I think this is the why question that should be asked, why is it a thankless job? Because so many police officers want to serve. They really, really, really want to serve and do the best they can. But, and they're God-centered, they're God-oriented. But the reason the thanklessness comes in is because the world right now, the country that we're serving, doesn't really have what I would call an attitude of gratitude. It's a thankless world. And so when you walk a bunch of people that with one mindset into a group of people with another mindset, which isn't exactly what I would call the most holy thing on the, you know, around, there's going to be some conflict. But what we have to remember is God is really and truly on our side. I believe that passionately. And the gates of hell aren't going to prevail against anything these guys pull against us.
Father, are you a diocesan priest, or you said you're a missionary priest, correct?
Well, yeah, I work and live in the missions. So I have Mass in I have two parishes, Petersburg, Alaska, and Wrangell, Alaska. And I'm currently in Wrangell, St. Rose of Lima and Wrangell. So what I do is I say Mass 5:30 Saturday night in Petersburg at St. Catherine of Siena, 8:30 Sunday morning in Petersburg. I go to the airport, jump on the puddle jumper, fly over to Wrangell, say 11 o'clock and a 5:30 Mass. And I hang out here a couple of days and I go back and start all over again. So it's kind of like we're on the go all the time. And by the way, this is a side note, if I may, I know I talk a lot, sorry, but I don't get one dime out of this. I don't make any money off this at all. Every dime of it goes to the missions.
Wow. God bless you, Father. So you're what diocese were you ordained for?
The Diocese of Juneau. And now we're Anchorage, Juneau.
Okay, now you're Anchorage, Juneau. Got it.
Yeah.
I'm talking to Father Steve Gallagher. He wrote a book. It's a book. It's, you know, Christmas is coming up as well. I would stock up on a bunch of these books and give them to everybody who's a first responder. It's called A Police Officer's Devotional. His Truth Shall Be Thy Shield, Psalm 91, verse 4. You can pick it up at holyheroes.com, holyheroes.com. Father's done a great, great service to law enforcement by writing this book. Father, what I mean by thankless, I guess I'm talking about the current state of our country right now.
Yes.
With Marxism and socialism on the march, with all these defund police movements, with George Soros funding all these district attorneys, these leftist progressive district attorneys in different big cities to basically dismantle law enforcement. But you're right. At the end of the day, when you take off the uniform, you realize that you did do something good. You did do something noble. You do have a sense like, wow, I helped somebody today. And there is a God moment, I would say, in police work where you know when you did something right and you helped somebody, you feel, as St. Paul says, the peace that surpasses all understanding. You're not going to get a pat on the back from your sergeant or lieutenant or the captain, but you just know that unto God that he's smiling upon you as you're driving home. So I guess I would qualify that statement. A lot of our Marxist, socialist politicians and just the zeitgeist, they don't appreciate police work. They want to eradicate it. But it's always our Father in heaven who just gives you those spiritual consolations throughout the shift. And you know that he's there with you and you know that he's smiling upon you because you're doing the best that you can to serve and protect. Father, let me ask you another question. How's the Catholic population in Alaska? Is it split 50% Catholic, 50% Protestant, or is it Catholic and indigenous people? What's the population?
I don't know the
Catholics.
I don't know the ratio. I think I knew that at one time, but I tell you what's really weird is I get calls to do graveside services all the time. I go to the hospital and see somebody. I went just yesterday to visit a person, and she's a Catholic. She's been a member of this parish for 60 years. Never seen her before in my life. So I asked about the roundabout. I said, "Who is this lady? I need to know her." Nobody knew who she was. They said, "Well, as a Catholic parishioner." So we see the unchurched population up here, just like you see all over the United States. You know, when you talk about these Marxists and these communists, I'm totally in the same camp as you are. And it does not abide well with Catholicism or any Christian way of doing things. And one of the words that we hear all the time within the news media and with politicians is this word ideal, the ideology of. Have you ever looked up that word ideology? It's really interesting because one of the definitions of ideology is fantasy or wanting things done the way I think they should be done.
Wow.
Well, Jesus Christ is not a fantasy. And I want to read something. Oh, shoot. What happened here? There we go. Are you there?
Yes. Yeah. Share. Go ahead, Paul. Share.
So this is a book I was reading last night from 1938 by a Redemptorist father. He says, Christ was uncompromising in his assertion that all human affairs, personal, social, and political, should have as their regulating principle the mind and will of God. Jesus worshiped a God of divine and transcendent proportions. Men would worship a God dwarfed to their own miserable conceptions. And I just thought that was really good and appropriate for today. And in 1938 was a year before the World War II started.
Wow, that was a beautiful reflection. Thank you. We're talking to Father Steve Gallagher. He wrote a book called The Police Officer's Devotional. You can pick it up at holyheroes.com, holyheroes.com. Remember, Christmas is around the corner, and I know all of you have cops and first responders in your family. Instead of getting them some socks or some underwear, not that they don't need that stuff, give them something that's gonna minister and speak to their soul. Give them something that's going to draw them closer to Christ. Father, there's one verse I think that really bespeaks or defines what law enforcement is all about. Now, say if you agree with me, it's in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God or the children of God. And I say that because I remember when I worked in California, the California Penal Code, it calls all officers, whether they're deputy sheriffs or city police or town marshals or constables, they're all under the umbrella of peace officers. And so this verse really tells you what the job of a peace officer is, and the way God smiles upon them. They're sons of God. They do the job according to the dictates of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible says you're called a son of God. I think that's an incredible boon. For law enforcement, I mean, I don't know any other profession where the Lord says something quite like this. What do you say?
I'm with you on that. And if you look into the book on, I'm looking to see what page this is right now. I think it's on page, let's see here. Hold on. There it is. Page 5. It starts out with the prayer of St. Francis. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Mm. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. We learned this prayer as kids in Catholic school, back in Catholic grade school. It stuck with me all these years. And then, you know, Mother Teresa, we talk about St. Francis calling us an instrument of our peace, which we really can be. And then Mother Teresa says, I'm nothing more than a pencil in the hand of God. Well, we are too, and we're in a position usually more situated than a lot of other people in our society to engage with that for an outcome that's really good. You know, God is there. He calls us all the time. It's just a matter of picking up the phone and answering it and then responding appropriately.
That's right. That's right. You're listening to Jesse Romero and Father Steve Gallagher here on Jesus 911. He went from over 30 years as a policeman, and he's been a Catholic priest for the last 11 years. And again, he went from one vocation of service to another vocation of service. And he's out in Alaska. Anybody, Father, who goes to a mass and hears your homilies with 31 years of experience in law enforcement, they're going to get a mouthful and they're not going to fall asleep. I can assure you. Father, is there anything? I'd like to keep you on for one more segment, if you don't mind. We're going to run up to a hard break right now. If we can keep you on for one more segment, would that be fine? Because I want to go through some of the chapters of the books, and I want to ask you specifically about some of the chapters of the book and why you wrote them, and how these chapters specifically are going to speak to the hearts of those officers that you had intended to read the book. I'm just looking at your table of contents. It's hilarious the way you wrote it. You know, Sunday, start of shift, end of shift, Monday, start of shift. And just the language that you use, this is exactly the cop military type of language. And I love the section where you got special assignments. You got a section you write to the police administrator, the police supervisor, the patrol officer, the walking patrol officer, the traffic officer, the detectives, the SWAT, the harbor patrol, canine officer, juvenile officer, the narcotics officer. I'm going to want to get into it as to, well, let me just ask you now before we go into the next segment. These special assignments, why did you break them down this way?
Well, do you see it done anyplace else? it just resonated with me when I started doing this. Because I was working at that time, I was in the traffic unit and I was working DWI enforcement. And DWI, I didn't even have to take radio calls. All I had to do was get my drunks, and I got more than enough of them over the years, and drunk drivers, that is. And and I'll tell you that there's all these assignments are so diverse from one another, and each has its own set of stresses and blessings. So let's activate those blessings to tamp down the stresses, you know, and it just came like that. I don't, I don't, I, I don't know. But what the part, though, that I don't know if you can hold that up or not. Here it is. Like right here. This is on page 79.
Father, I hear the music. We're going to go to a hard break. But on the next, I want to keep you on for one more segment. And I want to ask you about some of the highlights of the book, specifically that you would alert a young cop to in different situations, you know, different things they're going through.
Right.
Jesus 911. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Up next, more with Father Steve Gallagher.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911. Get the book. Christmas is right around the corner. A police officer's devotional. HolyHeroes.com, HolyHeroes.com. Buy a bunch of them. Buy a dozen of these books and pass them out to anybody that you know that is in law enforcement. Do them a favor. Draw them closer to Christ. You know, Father, I've noticed when I was a cop that people that are law enforcement officers of faith do well. They adjust better to the stresses of police work, where I would find that law enforcement officers that were not people of faith, that they were more secular, they would fall into vices that would be destructive of their personal life, of their home life. I saw that all the time. But I saw that the officers that were men of faith and men that were had a relationship with God and that went to church, they adjusted and they did well emotionally and basically even in their careers than people that just basically, tried to do law enforcement living by the seat of their pants. Did you kind of see the same thing?
Absolutely, I sure did. I can't tell you the amount of guys I saw get canned over the years because of their various dalliances, so to speak. If you are the type of person that is not going to obey the law of God, then why should you obey the law of man? You're going to do what you want. It's kind of like being an independent contractor with no supervision. You're just going to go out and do your thing. And eventually it catches up to you. I mean, Gene, in Christmas, I saw lots of guys over the years, take hard, hard falls because of their pride, really. And they're just doing things the way they think they doing things that they thought they can get away with, you know. And yeah, it's sad commentary, you know.
I saw the same thing. Father, you got some powerful prayers here. I'm looking here. Most cops, you know, obviously they start off in patrol. So, you know, I got here, you got the walking patrol officer. You got the patrol officer. You got a prayer for strength. That's beautiful. You got a prayer for those who serve human need. Prayer for our oppression. Another prayer called touch me, Lord. Another prayer for courage. Boy, oh boy. Is that one should be in every Catholic heart or any policeman's heart before they hit the streets. You got another prayer of thank you. Another prayer in time of civil disturbance. That's very relevant. Another prayer in the service of others. Then for the walking patrol officer. This is so cool. For guidance. Another prayer for protection. Another prayer to do what is right. Another. You got a lot of psalms here. Psalm 15. Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary, Psalm 23, another one, step by step. Father, I'm telling you, this book, if you give it to an officer that, let's just say, he's a cultural Catholic, kind of like a, you know, just he just punches in the time clock every Sunday and gets his hour in, and that's the extent of his Catholicism. Your book is like a retreat. Your book. It is like an evangelization encounter, because I can't see anybody. I've read this book two or three times. I can't see anybody going through this book that's not going to have an encounter with God. I don't know if you intended that, but that's exactly what I got out of this book when I read it. Just you're constantly encountering God in your soul through these prayers. So I just want to congratulate you, Father, and just let the audience know this is a book you want to get a bunch of for Christmas. It's called A Police Officer's Devotional, HolyHeroes.com. A Police Officer's Devotional, HolyHeroes.com. What are the highlights of the book for you as the author that you think that people should focus on?
One of the things I would like people in law enforcement to do is to try to see the people that we're working with as God sees them. And to use God as our filter. That is really hard to do, especially when somebody's throwing up in the backseat of your patrol car or on you, or all these different things that we see. A lot of, probably one of the worst is our really hardcore domestic violence cases. You know, how does God deal with that? Can you imagine, just imagine this. You're in the middle of a, when you die as you are. And that's how you're going to appear before God, just in that moment. Mm-hmm. Imagine you stand before the Lord and he says to you, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, come on in." Or he says, the worst thing you're ever going to be able to hear in your life, you'll ever hear in your life is, "Depart from me, you accursed, I know you not." Mm-hmm. That's bad. But then there's kind of a third one you might want to throw in there. We would say, would you like to take a minute and explain yourself? I'm telling you, you want to see tongue-tied people, they're not going to be able to do it. We were made in the image and likeness of God for the service of God and to serve others, to know, love, and serve him and others, you know, and this is what we're supposed to do. And it's, I just don't find living as a Catholic a hard thing to do. I've never found it hard to do. Have I had my ups and downs? A whole plenty of them. And there's a thing called the confessional, you know, the sacrament of penance. Utilize that more than any other sacrament you can utilize along with the Holy Eucharist. You're going to be fine. But you can't live a duplicitous life, a dual life. You know, on the one hand, you're going to serve God, and on the other hand, you can serve the other side, the world. It doesn't work. You can't serve two masters, even though people try really hard to do that.
Yeah. Father, well, I'll tell you one thing. I mean, just talking to you, you're just a man that's, from the right from the start, I mean, you've just been a man of service to our country, of now of service to our church. And I tell people that there's three types of men. You got sheep, you got wolves, and you got sheepdogs. I'm taking this analogy from Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman, who wrote a book.
I know that one. I read that book.
Well, Father, you're a sheepdog. You've been a sheepdog for 40 some odd years. You worked, you know, you had a badge on your chest for 31 years, now for 11 years. You got a star in your chest, so you just been you've been a sheepdog for God for 41 years. I just want to take my hat off to you and just thank you here publicly for your service to humanity. You definitely understand what it means by yes, I am my brother's keeper. I think you understand that more than most men that I've met. Father, let me ask you a question. Saint Michael the Archangel is the patron saint of police officers, correct?
Absolutely.
Would you say that a good habit, a good holy habit, would be for every cop before they hit the streets to say the Saint Michael the Archangel prayer?
1,000 times a shift. You know, I tell you what, this is going to sound stupid to some people, but this is a fact. I used to send my angel in on every call I went before I went in there, to talk to the angels of the people I were going to be involved with, or to intercede with that person directly. And I've had my bumps and bruises over the years. I've never shot anybody. I've never killed anybody. I've never been shot. Well, I got shot when I was 17 by a bonehead friend of mine when we were grouse hunting, but that's a different story. That was like in the 1970s. Mm. But I've never been shot in police work, and hurt real bad, you know, bumps and bruises. And it all is, a lot of that is spiritual protection. When I look back on it with clarity, hindsight could be clarity, I can see it really clear. You
know? Well, a lot of it's probably because you're what, 6'4" and 240 pounds? That's probably.
Yeah.
Not many people probably wanted to take you on when you got out of the car.
But, you know, we had a guy I worked with. He's long deceased now, but he was 6'6 and about 400. And one day he looks at me, I was in my 20s, and he says, "You'll never have a problem because of your size." And I was a logger. I worked in the logging industry for years and years before I became a police officer. So I was really, really strong, you know. Well, what he didn't factor into there were things like LSD and meth, mm-hmm. and all these drug things where you put an arm bar in somebody and they just go, ugh. They can't feel it. Their pain compliance didn't work.
Yeah.
It took me a long time to figure out what was going on because I was young and didn't know, you know, but you learn as you go along. So these guys that are really built up in there, they just don't feel anything, not emotionally nor physically. They're really hard people to deal with. And they say, oh, it suits you guys to take him down. Well, I can't tell you the amount of people I've looked at and said, well, okay, you go do it. You deal with it. We'll stand back and watch. For us, it's nothing more than entertainment, you know? And, but they, the mouth, you know, overloads the hummingbird brain sometimes. And
that's right. Father, let's, we got about 2 minutes left. And I just want to, let's say there's a rookie cop here listening. And I'm sure there is. I have a lot of law enforcement listening to this show. What spiritual direction would you give in 2 minutes to a rookie cop that's a born and raised Catholic that just entered into the profession? You got 2 minutes with him, Father. What would you tell him?
You know, when we had trained cops and we'd put them out in a patrol car for the very first time, and we'd kind of stand back and watch them drive out of a lot and say, there they go, out to commit law enforcement upon the people. You know, well, I would say, don't give up on your faith. I don't care what happens, especially you younger guys, because your whole generation's jumped ship. They've opted out, and it's not a good thing. And you can see the results of people that are trying to fill their lives with things that are not godly, to include a lot of younger police officers. Don't give up on your faith, whatever happens, because you know what? The bottom line is, you can call for backup all day long, and these guys will come. They'll come, and you'll go to help them. But when push comes to shove, where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? We always go to God. I have never heard, I've seen a lot of dead people, as you may imagine, and I've never heard one, never once in my life did I ever hear one say, I want to see my lawyer. Where's my accountant? They always call for mom or God, you know? Mm. So make sure that you know this guy before you get too deep into yourself.
Amen. Good advice, Father. Well, Father, it was a great finally meeting you. I've read about you. I've heard about you, and I'm glad we had you on the show. For all those people out there, I know that even though we're on through social media, if you can give us a priestly blessing for all of us, all the cops that are listening right now.
I can. And let me tell you something else. All you officers that are listening, there's life after law enforcement. And I've seen a lot of guys go blow their brains out after law enforcement. Don't do that. I'm going to tell you why. Because this is about God. And you know what? He's calling you to a life of service. And there are more cops and police officers that have entered, followed the path I follow than you can shake a stick at. You'd be stunned at the amount that are out there throughout the United States. Maybe that's something you need to consider. So your final blessing is, Benedicat vos omni potens Deus Pater et Filius Spiritus Sanctus. Amen. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go in peace.
Thank you, Father Steve Gallagher. We'll have you on again. God bless you. Have a great day. You've been listening
Thank
to
you.
Jesus 911. Thank you, Father. Talk
okay,
to you soon.
Bye.
Up next, dads spend time in Louisiana high school.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, Lord, come to our assistance. Lord, make haste to help us. I just want to talk about this incredible story, then we're going to play a short little clip from the CBS News. It's about these black fathers that are spending time in a Louisiana high school after there's been a string of arrests and a string of violence. The school couldn't handle this problem of all these young blacks fighting with each other. It was called Southwood High School. It's in Louisiana. And what happened? One dad took it upon himself. His name's Michael Lafitte. He says, you know what? These are our boys out there. I'm going to start a group of dads called Dads on Duty, and we're going to take care of this problem. I want you to hear a short little clip from CBS News. Mr. Engineer, can you play the clip?
Not many good news stories begin in such a bad news way. It happened last month here at Southwood High School in Shreveport, Louisiana.
Plagued with violence.
Over the course of 3 days,
another fight.
23 students arrested for fighting.
Massive police response.
But strangely, there hasn't been another incident since. Perhaps in part because of this most unusual crisis intervention team.
Nobody here has a degree in school counseling.
No majors in criminal justice.
No.
Your qualifications are?
We're dads. We decided the best people who can take care of our kids are who? For us.
So Michael Lafitte started Dads on Duty.
We're out doing what we do for our babies.
A group of about 40 Southwood dads who now hang out at the school in shifts.
Let's go.
Today, any negative energy that enters the building has to run a gauntlet of good parenting.
What's going on, buddy?
You moving fast. I like that horse.
I immediately felt a form of safety.
We stopped fighting. People started going to class.
How could that be?
You ever heard of a look?
A look? Dads it's have just the power to do that?
Yes. Not many people know it, but yes.
Let's go.
But it's not just the firm stares and stern warnings.
Let's make it to class, my son.
It's also the dad jokes.
They just make funny jokes like, oh, hey, your suit's untied, but it's really not untied.
And they hate it. They're so embarrassed by it.
And it's that perfect mix of tough love and gentle ribbing that dads do so well that has helped transform this school.
The school has really just been, like, happy, and you can feel it.
Which is why the dads plan to keep coming to Southwood indefinitely.
Because not everybody has
the father figure
at home.
Or a male, period, in their life.
Like, so just to be here makes a big difference.
Do you think you stumbled onto something here?
Absolutely.
Y'all have a good morning.
They'd like to start chapters of Dads on Duty throughout Louisiana.
What's up, baby boy?
And hope to eventually take on the country.
All right.
Without a fight. Steve Hartman, on the road in Shreveport, Louisiana.
I think this is brilliant. So many high schools, especially in minority areas, let's just be honest, there's a lot of violence, especially amongst the boys, okay, amongst the young boys. Just a lot of violence amongst Hispanics, amongst young blacks, especially when they come from fatherless homes. And just to see a bunch of dads walking here, here's 40 dads in this high school walking around. They all got like the same shirt, Dads on Duty. They're all old guys, but they're just something, they're just... The fact that they're fathers, they represent this father figure to all the other kids, even the ones that don't have dads. And to me, this is the perfect mix of parents and school, and this is the perfect formula to stop violence around the country, is having fathers taking an active part in their child's education by having dad patrol, or what they call dads on duty. And again, even the boys just know it. When they see a male figure, just by natural law, they know that that males represent authority, that there's a patriarchal structure there. And especially imagine if you're one of those troublemaker boys and you see your dad walking around every day in high school, that's going to temper your behavior. That's going to temper your disordered passions and emotions. If you see that dad is there with four of the other fathers patrolling every day in school. I think this is brilliant. I hope this goes all over the country, because there is a lot of places in this country where we have a lot of senseless violence in high schools. And I'll tell you, it's hard to study when there's violence in high school. I went to a high school where there was a lot of violence, San Fernando High School. It was hard to study. I think most of the time that we're there, you're just looking around, you know, looking over your shoulder and stuff, and to see where the next fist fight is at and make sure that you're not going to be part of it, or make sure you're not going to, you know, take a knuckle sandwich. But I'll tell you, when you look at just fathering sons and fathering daughters, a young boy's naturally drawn in a very close attachment to their mom. And that's why, you know, they call a lot of boys and stuff very early on. You're a mama's boy. Probably right up until about the age of 7 years of age. That's fine and healthy. Boys are with their mom all the time, and that's healthy. But a boy has to learn to mature and starts forming his own masculine identity. And so a boy after seven, it's good that he starts detaching from mom, and then he starts forming a closer attachment with his father throughout older boyhood and adolescence. A boy matures into manhood through his close identification with his father. And once a young man has fully matured in this way, then he's ready for a close reattachment to a woman, his wife. But it's extremely difficult for a boy to mature in his masculinity without the presence of a father. This has been studied. I'll tell you one of the things that really, I'll tell you two things about my father. He was not a perfect guy. He was a sinner like everybody else. He was a work in progress. But there's two things about my dad that to this day I'll never forget, and it's helped me develop as a man. My dad's been dead. Rest in peace. Lord have mercy on his soul and have mercy on my mom's soul. My father, when I was 9 years old, we all, after Mass at Santa Rosa Catholic Church in San Fernando, we went to a restaurant. My dad had won, I think, a coupon to a restaurant at the parish carnival, at the parish fiesta. And so it was like an $100 coupon to feed the whole family. So we went to this relatively nice restaurant over in San Fernando called Sierra's Restaurant, which is no longer there. When we're leaving the restaurant, we walked out the back door, which led to an alley, and there was a car. My dad's car was parked just on the other side of the alley. As we walked out, I mean, I'm 9 years old, and I know what violence is. A woman was being raped in a car by a big guy. I remember as a young, small guy, it looked like Hulk Hogan, looked like a big dude. And I can see clothes as being torn off. I can see the lady, she's screaming. She's trying to kick the windows out. People are walking out from that back door in the alley to take the shortcut to the parking lot. And many men saw this. They grabbed their wife or their girlfriend's hands and they ran to their car, literally ran. My dad told my mom, go inside the restaurant, take my sister inside the restaurant and take all the boys inside. The four boys, he said, we're going to stay out here with dad. So my mom and my sister ran in the restaurant to call the police. My dad took off his tie. We just got out of Mass. My dad took off his tie, opened the back door and jumped on the guy's back, who was much bigger than him. And my dad was giving him a UFC chokehold and also cracking him behind the head with his fist. Got the guy off, pulled him out. The guy, my dad did like a carotid restraint. I don't know if he knew how to do that, but he just basically knocked the guy out with a carotid restraint, which looks like a chokehold, but it's not. It's called a carotid restraint. He put the guy out. The police pulled up in about 2 or 3 minutes, and after they separated everybody and got the story straight, they arrested the gentleman. They arrested the crook. He was a rapist, and I remember the police told my mom and dad that this guy was a serial rapist in the San Fernando Valley that they'd been looking for about 5 years. He was on the LAPD most wanted list. And that lady was saying, officers, officers, that man, that Hispanic man there, he saved my life. He was going to rape me. That man there, he saved my life. So I saw that. I'm 9 years old. My brothers, three other brothers saw that. My sister saw it. At that moment, I understood, you know what? A man is supposed to have chivalry, protect the innocent, protect the defenseless, protect women, protect children. I understood chivalry, and I understood courage. I know my dad was probably afraid. This guy was big and young. But my dad, you just have to fight your fears sometimes, and that's called the gift of fortitude or the gift of courage that we receive in confirmation. My dad just says, okay, nobody wants to help me out. Everybody's running to their car with their wife or their girlfriend, but this woman's getting raped. I can't just walk away from this. So my dad said, this guy's big and young. Here it goes. And so that also taught me a lesson in courage. You just got to face your fears sometimes. A second thing that I'll never forget my father for, that's really for me to this very day, I think it was the night before I got married. The night before I got married, or maybe a few days before I got married, my dad came up to me, walked into my room. Now, he'd been drinking, okay? He was happy that I was the first one to get married of the boys. My sister was already married for several years, but I was the first of the four boys, Romero boys, that got married. My dad walked into my room and he looked at me, and I could tell he'd been drinking. You know, he could smell the beer in his breath. But he gave me wise counsel. He looked at me. He says, "I've been married to your wife, to your mom for I forget how many years at that point." And he goes, "You know what? I've been faithful to her all along." He says, "Be faithful to Anita. If there's one thing I can tell you, be faithful to her." You have no idea. I felt lightning go through my body when my dad said that to me. It was like, you know, King David dying and telling Solomon, as he's dying, looks at Solomon and says, "Solomon, be a man, be a man." That's what my dad was telling me. because I'm about to leave the house the next day to get married. My dad was basically saying, be a man. Again, so I congratulate these fathers, these black fathers over at this Louisiana high school, where, again, there has been a string of violence and string of assaults and amongst a lot of the young black boys. I mean, young black kids, you could just watch the video. Guys are just, you know, engaging in fist fights day after day. And these fathers formed a group called Dads on Duty. And guess what? The fights have stopped. There hasn't been one fight since you had 40 black fathers with T-shirts that say Dads on Duty roaming around the schools with the permission of the administration and having a relationship with these kids and being patriarchal figures. God bless them. Well, that's a wrap. My name is Jesse Romero, Jesus 911. Tomorrow we got a special program with Dr. Dan Schneider. Up next, you'll hear more from Gary Machuda, Hands-On Apologetics, coming to you from the Midwest Command Center. For the rest of you, Psalm 69, verse 2, God, come to my assistance. Lord, make haste to help me. And remember, pray America great again and live in a state of grace. What else is there? God bless you.